Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us as we continue our study in Exodus. It is encouraging to hear from God and learn more about Him in the Bible. This happens no matter which book of the Bible we are focusing on. This is an amazing aspect of the Bible. It is one of the things that sets the Bible above all other books. This is not just a book. It is alive. And in every section of the Bible, there is more for us to learn. We look forward to what J. Mark will teach us from Exodus and how these truths will teach us more about God and how we can live for Him. Let's give our attention to J. Mark now.
From the experiences that you and I have in life, we know that we need help to keep our hope alive and vibrant. And remember, faith and hope are very closely linked together. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. In life, faith is the foundation of our hope. We rest our hope on our faith. We all face uncertainties which put us into places similar to Israel's situation, and at those times we must work to keep faith in God. In Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, Israel faced a test of faith. Let's learn together from their example. That's Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with them. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us like this, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. In this text, there are three words that stand out, which all of us need to keep our faith in God alive. The first word I give you is precaution. Precaution is a warning beforehand. So the Lord told Moses that certain things were going to happen, and he based his precaution on his foreknowledge. The Lord knew what was going to happen before it happened. He always does. And so the information he gave Moses enabled Moses to prepare the people. Now, we don't know exactly how God spoke to Moses, but we see in this account that Moses understood God. He was instructed by the Lord exactly what he was to do. He was given a precaution. God wanted Moses and the people to know beforehand what was going to happen. So he instructed Moses where to camp, and then he told him what they should expect. He told them that Pharaoh was going to come after them, and he was going to try to overcome them. But the Lord said to Moses that he was going to be victorious over Pharaoh and all of his hosts. He was going to show his power over Pharaoh, that is, God was going to triumph over Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh didn't know that his plan wasn't going to work. He thought he had an easy victory ahead of him. Here was a helpless people, and he had a powerful army. But by this word of precaution from the Lord, Israel was prepared, so that Pharaoh's actions did not come to them as a surprise. Now there are four words at the end of verse 4 which are of the greatest importance. It says, "And they did so." That is, what God told them to do, they did. God gave them a forewarning of what was going to happen, and he told them how to get ready for it. And they got ready exactly the way the Lord had told them to. This precaution came to them, and they accepted it. We know they accepted it because they acted upon God's command. That's how you know if someone really believes. It moves them to action. My friend, the Lord has told us in his word what is going to happen in time to come. He has warned us to look for certain signs that will signal the end of the age as we know it. And he has told us beforehand what is going to happen to alert us so that we can get ready. You can keep your faith in God if you will accept his word of precaution. And then there's a second word I give you to help you keep your faith in God. It is pursuit. Pharaoh did exactly what God said he would do, even though his pursuit was based on false information. The people told the king that Israel had fled. That wasn't quite true, was it? No. We read earlier in Exodus that he and his people had told them to get out. They did not want them to stay any longer after the death of all the firstborn in the Egyptian homes and among their cattle. But now, apparently, the urgency of that moment had vanished. And Pharaoh and the others began to reflect upon what had happened. And his servants came to him and they said, "Why have we done this? We have let Israel go from serving us. We have lost our workforce." And so Pharaoh gathered together his best men, 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over them. It seems to me he was gathering together his best army, we would say the cream of the crop, to overtake the children of Israel. Picture it in your mind. Pharaoh's army glistening with golden shields and the horses' plumes waving in the wind, while the charioteers are cracking their whips and they're headed off after the children of Israel. You know, it must have been a fearful and awe-inspiring sight to see them come. In contrast, how did these children of Israel look when they were departing from Egypt? Certainly not like an army. It was a large crowd. They were carrying their dough troughs on their shoulders, and they were walking along. Perhaps they had a few wagons to carry the heavier goods. And so you had men and women and children of all ages. They're walking along in an orderly march. But I don't believe there was one weapon among them. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is pursuing them with a large, well-ordered, and well-equipped army. You know, in life, we all come to difficult places when the future is unsure and the opposition is closing in. The question is, what are we to do under those circumstances? The descriptive word that I have given you is pursuit. Pharaoh was in pursuit of his enemy, the children of Israel. The children of Israel were in pursuit of God's promise. Through faith in God, we don't need to fear the pursuit of the oppressor. And then there's a third word that I give you to help you keep your faith in God. It is protest. The protest of the people was based on fear. When they looked back and saw Pharaoh's army approaching with the chariots, there was nothing they could physically do. They foresaw being captured and taken back to slavery. So they cried out to God. Well, that's a good thing to do when you're in trouble. The psalmist did that many times. If you read the Psalms, cry out to the Lord. Lift your heart and voice in prayer to him. He's there to hear, and he's there to help. But then they also complained to Moses. They cried to God, and they complained to Moses. They said, "Weren't there any graves in Egypt that you've brought us out here to die in the wilderness? Why didn't you let us alone so we could serve the Egyptians?" But you know, God had something else in mind for these people of Israel. He had another purpose for them. They said they would have served the Egyptians, but God said, "I want you to serve me." So this is the word of their protest. When times are hard, you and I are inclined to cry out to God, and we're often also inclined to blame someone else. It's part of our human nature to look for others to blame when we're in trouble. But the Lord is working out His purposes, His own purposes, and we can't always see what those purposes are because we have already made up our minds about the situation. Well, the word is protest. But their protest wasn't all in vain. When they cried out, the Lord heard them. Out of this very difficult condition, God was developing faith among His people. And out of your very difficult condition, God can develop faith in you as well. In fact, it will develop. Faith will develop if you keep looking to God. So I urge you to hold fast when there seems to be no way out. It's okay to protest, but be assured, God does know what He's doing. These three words we looked at can help you keep your faith alive too. Precaution. God warns us that following His plan will not always be easy. Remember, Jesus told His disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Pursuit is the second word. If you pursue a relationship with God and learn to rely on Him, then you will have courage when you are facing pursuit by your enemies. You will have the assurance that God has some bigger plan in mind than what you can see at the moment. And then protest. Fear is a natural reaction to our unexpected circumstances, but we mustn't let our fear control us. We can cry out to God in protest because He understands and He will show us what to do. All of these will help you keep your faith in God alive.
Thank you, J. Mark, for this teaching from Exodus. And we thank you for joining us. As Christians, it is a privilege to serve and trust our God who is above every nation. As His people, it is good for us to remember the important principle in Daniel 4:17. It says, "That the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and gives it to whomever He will, and sets over it the lowest of men." This verse teaches our sovereign God is over the kingdoms on earth. What happens here among our leaders is known and directed by Him. Our leaders may be powerful and important, or minor and less known, but it is our God who has placed them there, and our God is using them to accomplish His will. We don't always know how this can be. And when I don't, I usually tell God, "I don't know why this is happening or why you are allowing it, but I trust you and I pray that your people will stay faithful." Be encouraged in this story from Exodus that our God was in control, and the same God who was in control back then is still in control now. Do you have any thoughts from today's teaching? If you want to share them with us, here are a few ways you can contact us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, no problem. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please check out the Listen tab and listen to our other teaching. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. This brings us to the end of today's program. Thanks again for being there. Please join us again next week for another lesson from Exodus. Go with God this week and know that He is big enough for your circumstance. Trust Him because the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men.